section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
TNA adds a legend to their Hall of Fame, Stone Cold's podcast returns, and a former IC champion passes away. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Roddy Piper passes away. What can be said about that, Aaron?
It's very, very sad. You know, we, you know, recently lost Dusty, who, you know, we talked about him in depth and kind of our feelings about him. And Piper, you know, not in the same vein, you know, it's not like he had been working in the same capacity that Dusty had, but you know, Roddy Piper was somebody who he was just the best villain of the 80s. And, you know, he actually, he had a very interesting upbringing. I mean, it was really sad. Like, you know, like how sometimes like artists tend to put a lot of themselves into their music and you listen to it and you're like, oh, my God, I feel so bad that you had such a terrible upbringing. Like Roddy Piper, he had very he did not have a good upbringing at all. Like, it was absolutely terrible. And to see the type of person that he became, that speaks volumes about his character, you know. It really, really does. It is very, very sad because he passed away. He was, 61 years old, you know. He was pretty young, to be honest. And it's a sad day for wrestling. I do want to share a quick one of the things that I absolutely loved was his and Bret Hart's feud for the IC title. And it was where Piper was saying, oh, yeah, no, I'd love to give you a shot at this. You know, I've known you ever since you were a little kid. And I remember like hearing that. And, you know, Hart was like, no, that's my title. I'm going to take it back. And I was like, no, Brett, don't do it. But, you know, he turned over a new leaf. He's a good guy now. You know, he's no longer a bad guy. Like, be good to him. And I remember that as a little kid. And it's funny because it stuck with me, you know, to this day. And I can't even think of when that match was. I want to say it was in, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. I want to say it was a SummerSlam match. But, you know, it's just Piper was phenomenal. He was an amazing wrestler, an amazing talent, you know, on the mic, not necessarily in the ring. You know, he was OK, but he was amazing on the mic and he really gave wave to a lot of other talents. And, you know, he really is a pioneer in this business.
Yeah. And the one thing that I guess I'll always remember Piper for is, of course, the whole coconut incident with Jimmy Snuka, which, watching it now, you realize that Snuka took that coconut and then he kept pushing the set over because it's like, oh, it didn't fall over. I'm going to continue to push it. Good job, Snuka. So I guess how I remember him. But I also remember the fact that once he got out of the business, he just was kind of gone. There's other things that he did. He was on a couple of ghost stories shows. And one that really kind of stuck out to me was he did one with, Adrian Adonis? And he talked about when he passed away. And he said that really got to him. I just remember that story from him. So now, every time, you know, now that he's passed away, because he said at one point that he doesn't think he'll ever last till past 65 because of what he did to himself when he was younger in his wrestling career. And it was interesting because he went on about it because he said that nowadays guys are talking about what they're doing for conditioning and what they're doing, like how they're working out, what they're eating. And he said it's completely different than when he was in the business. So he said that he believes that those guys will last a lot longer and he thinks that they'll have a shorter career, but they'll do something else. It's not like they're going to be stuck in doing it, wrestling at VFWs. I'm elaborating, I think, on this, but this is what I got out of it, that he was saying that you would leave the VFWs, you'd leave the bingo town halls or whatever, and you'd actually do something with your life. And he said instead of being a wrestler, which I find funny because the movie The Wrestler is kind of what... Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess that's the one thing about Piper, and the fact that, you know, a UFC fighter, Ronda Rousey, she asked to use the Rowdy part in her name, and he's like, oh yeah, go ahead, and he was really cool about it. And it's kind of interesting that he passed away. She says that this fight is dedicated to him, and she won in 34 seconds.
Yep.
But the fact that he was just, I guess, more humble towards the end, and I get, you know, he wasn't before. Him and Vince would go at it all the time. It was, he didn't like it. He was very vocal. And I think that's one thing that no one's talked about yet, and I hope they do, because I want to know what was, like, certain situations, like why him and Piper got into it. I know there's one recently where him and Piper got into it because he went off on a tangent, and they kind of laid into him in the ring with it as well. But it's just sad to see him go, and he's up there now with his boy, Adrian Adonis, and yeah, it's just a sad day for wrestling. But, and by the way, this one actually did bother me. Like, Dusty's did bother me, but something about Piper, it just really bothered me. It's like, wow, he actually predicted pretty much his own death, and he was just, you know, I think it was TMZ that got him the week prior talking about the Hogan situation. And it's just really weird that, like, wow, they just talked to him like five or a week ago, and then now this. So
yeah, no, I absolutely. And it is sad. This one didn't hit me nearly as hard as Dusty's did, but it still is, you know, very unfortunate, especially when, you know, someone that you remember watching growing up, you know, like, passes away. So, Andy, I don't know if you had a chance to catch Paige on the Steve Austin show. It was on Monday night. You know, I know it was not very well received. Did you have a chance to listen to it or watch it?
I watched it. I thought it was pretty good.
You liked it. What did you like about it in particular?
Well, okay. The fact that she's been wrestling, I didn't realize it was 10 years. I thought she started wrestling at 16. I didn't realize it was 13. But I thought some of her stories were interesting just because of the Knight family, because here they're nobodies. And her mom has a little bit of a following, just little. We're talking like glow, shimmer. But over there, that family's huge. So, and I did watch the documentary they did. I think it's Wrestling With My Family is what it's called. Mm-hmm. So I watched that, and that was, I thought that was really cool how she, you know, she ended up coming over to FCW, and that became NXT, of course. So, and I always thought that she had something, but I just couldn't figure out what it was. And I think that she's starting to become a good wrestler, even a better one than some people. And I guess that's why when I look at other divas, I'll use that in quotes, I just don't think they have it. But I believe that this was good. It wasn't as good as the other ones that he's done. I think the Vince McMahon one was really good. But
Vince and Triple H were definitely, you know, really great. The Paul Heyman one was okay. This one was definitely my least favorite. And, you know, I know a little bit about her. So I guess, you know, you when you listen to those, you're like, oh, I'm hearing the same story again. But, you know, it's, you're telling somebody new. So I get that. I totally get that. But I just felt that she didn't deserve to be on there. And the rumor is that it was supposed to be Hulk Hogan that was on there originally. But then, of course, the racist stuff came out, and so he couldn't be on there anymore. They pulled that plug. Because I would have loved, you know, obviously take the racist thing out of there. I would have absolutely loved for Austin to grill Hogan and ask him, you know, you're still saying that you want to wrestle me, you know, and like kind of grill him a little bit about that. Because I think it would have been fun to watch Hogan squirm a little bit, you know, obviously not, you know, with the current stuff going on, but it would have been kind of fun, you know, to put the screws to him a little bit. But I don't feel that this was that good.
Now you could, you know, to a certain extent, yes, the Paul Heyman was good, but also I think this was better than Paul Heyman's, mostly because I guess I always thought of her as a good wrestler, but you did bring something up. If it was really going to be Hulk Hogan, it makes more sense that it would have been Hogan. I guess because this seemed like he didn't prepare like he usually does for his shows. And sure, it seems like that they could keep going on and on. And this seemed like not at first, but like towards the end, it seemed like they're forcing Tough Enough. And I think it was like 35 or 40 minutes into the hour show. And I think that's what kind of bothered me about it, because it's like, well, I don't care about Tough Enough. Why is she talking still about how the Knight family got started? What's the promotion? Like, I thought they would talk more about that than anything, but it seemed like they almost, in a way, didn't want to give them any promotion. because then they could take and said, as heard on Stone Cold show, the Knight family, I'm surprised they just didn't go and talk about that part more. And I think that's actually what hurt it, but maybe he would have prepared better and done things a little bit differently. But also, they didn't talk about Total Divas, of all things. She's on that show.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't talk about Total Divas. There was a lot of missed stuff on there. And, I, you know, like I said,
AJ Lee, they didn't even bother talking about her, how they're friends.
They barely brought her up. You know, honestly, I would have rather had Kevin Dunn. I think that would have been phenomenal. Ooh. I know that a lot of people, a lot of wrestling fans might have been like, "What? Who's Kevin Dunn? I've never heard of him before. Why is he going to be on there?" You know, but I think it would have been smart because you could have found out a lot about somebody that is probably the third, fourth most powerful person in the WWE. You know, that would have been nice to see. Why not have someone like Joey Styles on there? That would have
actually
been
a, you know what? I have it. And they could have tied this in perfectly. They should have had the one, the only Eric Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff. Yeah, he actually
that would have been really the best one because
that would
they could tie it into
he's been on Austin's show before.
Oh,
they did a two parter with him. But it still would have been good because I think that you could have had a good show, you know, and you don't even have to retread like, oh, let's talk about WCW versus WWF for the millionth time. You don't have to do that necessarily, but instead you can talk about, let's talk about the transition from WCW to WWF. Let's talk about when you came over and you were the GM. Let's talk about your role there. Let's talk about maybe something else you might have done with TNA or, you know, like, yeah, obviously they wouldn't, but, you know, they could have done something like that. And so I think this was a missed opportunity for WWE. Paige was definitely the wrong person. I understand she has 10 years in the business. I totally get that. However, though, someone like Jericho has 10 years in the business. Why didn't he interview Jericho? He's been there for 20 years, 30 years. You know?
But the thing with Paige, though, she didn't really start touring, if I'm correct, until 16 or 17. So realistically, yes, she's probably been in the business for 10 years. But there's like that starting period of 3 to 4 years almost where she was in the business, but she wasn't really doing much. So that's why when I hear someone's been in the business for 10 years, I think that, OK, they started training and they did it. That was their full time job. And hers was more like, hey, I'm going to go. I still go to school. And then I do this for a few hours or I travel on the weekends with my mommy and poppy or whatever she called them. But that's where I'm kind of weird about that portion of it, but you know, but yeah, I think you saying the thing about Hogan, that would have made, I think, a more sense to a certain extent. Actually, dude, I would love to have DDP. He's in the area.
Yeah.
You're talking.
I think that there were so many people that they could have had on. I think it was a very big missed opportunity.
So let's talk WWE programming for this week. So Cena was not on Raw, which is kind of weird, but of course he busted his nose up. Here's the thing that I thought was interesting. He said that Rollins is challenging him title for title at SummerSlam, which is a big deal because we haven't had a title for title match in a while. Winner take all, because you know that what's going to happen is whoever wins the title, they're going to take the other title and put it on the ground. But this
we did in 2013, December 2013.
Oh, we did.
That was the last one.
Oh,
it was that was the last WWE one. WWE title versus the world heavyweight title.
So I'm just going to say spoiler right now because I believe that Sheamus is going to cash in this night, but he's going to cash in on the WWE title. And of course, he'll win that. That way, Cena still has the US title as well. So you continue with it.
I actually disagree here.
You know, you don't think he's going to cash in?
No, I don't think so. And I'll turn out to be wrong now. I think that Rollins will win it. I think that it would be the height of stupidity to have Cena win it. And the biggest reason why, you know, unfortunately, we're kind of fixated on numbers and records and everything. And it's a really big deal that Ric Flair still is 16-time world champion, having held 16 world titles over 2 decades. He's held them for a long period of time. Cena, on the other hand, has been around for it's about 10 years now. And he has held world titles for as little as 5 minutes, you know, and which means that's not a real world title. And he is now a 15-time world champion, which I think is a big, big mistake. And if he was a 14-time, then I would say, you know, I think Cena's probably going to win. But I don't think that it would be a good idea for him to tie, you know, Ric Flair's record. And I think that that's something that Triple H thinks about, too, because Triple H loves Ric Flair. So I could see that being a big like sticking point. Like, hey, let's kind of keep that away from Cena. He's got everything else, you know. He's a multi-time Royal Rumble champion, 15-time, you know, world champion. He's had more WWE titles than anyone else. Let's try to keep that away. I think that Rollins wins it here. He combines the title, they get rid of the US title, and then it's just the world, the Intercontinental, and the tag team titles. And that's going to be the big focus. Maybe they bring back the European. I don't know. But I think that they are going to try to go steer away from that. That would be my guess.
But then why have the big deal about bringing the US title back? I mean, because realistically, if you want to look at it from one standpoint, the IC title is not
the
really...
The world title's been back for a long time, though.
No, but I'm talking about... The U.S. title turned out to end up being for a while there a joke title. I mean, Ambrose had it for how long, and then he didn't defend it for, like, what, 6 months?
He didn't defend it for, like, a year. Like, after much. He won it, he didn't defend it.
But then you make a big deal about it once he beat Rusev for it, and that how he was going to have this open challenge, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, the last 4 months really meant nothing, so we're just going to can the title.
You know, the thing is, they do that, though. They get rid of titles, they bring titles back, and I'm okay with it. I really am, because at the end of the day, when you look at and you're like, there's a U.S. title, there's an Intercontinental, and then the world title. You know that the world title is the title everyone is going for. You understand that. Then you see the U.S. and you see the Intercontinental. If I was not a wrestling fan, I would say, well, which one's bigger? I don't get it. What does Intercontinental even mean? You know what an Intercontinental title actually is? It's a world title. It's the Intercontinental, which means all the continents. So it's a world title. So here's what I would do. I would say combine the U.S. and the world title. All right. Make that just the world title. Yeah, the Intercontinental title. Reintroduce the European title and then have that be one of the lowest titles. You know, have that be a title that Zack Ryder goes after. You know, have that be that type of a title. And that's what I would do with it. Have it be the title you give to somebody that you want to see if they have any star potential. And then after they get that title, then you move them up more towards the mid-card. That's what I would do, in my opinion.
So, in other words, you're talking about maybe a TV title.
I mean, basically, it's a TV title. The thing is, I'll be honest, I've always hated the title, TV title. I've always thought that was kind of generic and kind of stupid. Even like when WCW had it and they did a very good job with it. I always thought it was kind of dumb. You know, I just thought it was like the X Division title, I like. I like that name. I think it's a good name. Intercontinental, U.S., European, you know, some sort of regional thing. I'm okay with. TV title sounds kind of stupid, in my opinion. You know, I'll be honest. I think that it does. So that's what I would do if I was WWE. And, you know, that's how I would continue this feud, too.
All right. So Kevin Owens and Cesaro, it looks like it's going to happen. And at first, I didn't know what to think of this matchup, but... This could steal the show. This is one of those matches where it could do it. And just wondering how much time are they going to give them and where it's going to be on the card. If it's going to be the opening match, it'll just get everyone pumped, but then people are still going to talk about it.
Well, so, and you know, we talked about this last week, of course, with Roger and you know, Kevin Owens is in the main event of the night before. It's going to be a pretty, you know, epic match. It's going to be 20, 25 minutes probably. And so he's going to put on a match with Cesaro, probably about 10 minutes. You know, they're not going to let him go for a long time. This will probably be the opener to get people really excited. That would be my guess. Maybe the second one I could see, too, if they go with a tag team for the first one. But either way, I think that these two do a very good job together. They definitely are both ring generals. I think that Kevin Owens could have been moved to a better feud. And I also think that Cesaro could have, too. And don't get me wrong. Kevin Owens feuding with John Cena, you feuding with the top guy in the company. No matter who you feud with next, it's going to be a step down. But it's how big of a step you want to take. And I love Cesaro. I absolutely love Cesaro. So I don't think it's like this massive step down or I think it's a terrible idea. But I still think that Kevin Owens, Randy Orton would have been a very good idea. You know, I really do. But unfortunately, they didn't go that route.
The other thing also that I thought was interesting on Raw, that a fan printed out 7,000 Cesaro section papers or I'm sorry, signs, which I found really interesting, but I'm wondering if that's saying something that, hey, people want a Cesaro section. And if you remember at WrestleMania, there was Cesaro section signs. And I'm just wondering if this guy just said, you know what? I work at Staples and I'll just print off 7,000 copies because, well, it's not like they're going to fire me, at least that we know of yet. Maybe they did. But I thought that was interesting that they print out that many, just started handing them out to everyone, and people held them up. I mean, granted, there wasn't 7,000 up there, but there was there was quite a few, even everywhere in the
arena.
There
were a ton. There really were a ton. I saw a lot of them, and I was like, wow. Did somebody plan this? Did WWE do it? If WWE did it, like, kudos to you. Like, that was a very smart idea. But, you know, hearing that it was a fan that did it, it didn't surprise me. But it's just, it kind of goes to show the ignorance of WWE. Cesaro is obviously a draw, and you really did a terrible job with him. I mean, he was losing matches to Jack Swagger for a little while. Jack Swagger has not been relevant and since we've been doing the show. I mean, he beat Randy Orton one year, and we said, wow, that's the highlight of his career. You know, like, it really was. I think that WWE really needs to do something with Cesaro, and they need to make him a powerhouse.
I almost wish that Cesaro somehow would take the title from Ryback, but I just don't see that happening. Because I believe that Cesaro, if he had a title, I think that would help him out. He's one of the few guys that I think he needs a title just to be relevant, I guess, in the WWE's eyes. Not the fans' eyes, because the fans, they love him. But in WWE's eyes, he needs to take that belt and make it something more. Even if it's just himself promoting it, but something. And I wish that the brass ring people would actually realize this. But getting back with Ryback, he's going to be back by SummerSlam, which is actually kind of a good idea, I guess, if you want to say that. He's going to be back. He had a staph infection, which can actually be a pain in the butt to get rid of, but it's been taken care of. He's going to be back. I'm guessing he'll be back by next Raw. We'll see him, because that's not something to mess with. But then you continue the Big Show and the Miz feud with that, which is really nice, because even after this feud, you can either have, you can have Ryback move on to something else, or you could have Miz and then have Miz and Big Show go at it for a little bit. I mean, there's a couple of different ways of doing
this. So what you would do the triple threat for SummerSlam is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think they're going to do a triple threat.
Do you think that maybe even doing a four-way could help? I mean, I don't know who the fourth person would be necessarily. Maybe you could do Sheamus in there if you want to take him and Orton out of the equation. But, would you be interested in a four-way, or do you think that they should finish up the triple threat first?
Well, there's no gimmick matches yet. And, tile for tile, I mean, I guess it is a gimmick, but they need to have some type of gimmick match. Even if it's a no holds barred or a street fight, they need something. Because actually, I'll go on a limb and say they need to have two gimmick matches in this. If you're going to go
No.
4 hours?
Have one, so that way people are, that way it's a special match. If you have two street fights, for example, which one's more important?
You can have one that's no DQ, and then
you have a no DQ and a street fight. They're both the same thing.
Well, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
No DQ realistically is supposed to be in the ring.
Ryback coming back, I think, is going to be really nice to have the IC title defended. The one thing I'm kind of wondering, though, is we got Roman Reigns just kind of hanging out there. And apparently, he's going to be taking on the Wyatt family with Ambrose is what it looks like. But they really haven't been featuring him a whole lot, have they?
No. And, I don't know if this is the time that you pull the plug on him maybe being a heel. I mean, at some point you have to do it. But I don't know if you do it now or. Because him joining the White family wouldn't make sense, but then do you have Ambrose become a heel? But him joining the White family, kind of, I can see, but it's almost like it's Shield 2.0 right now with Reigns and Ambrose.
So, I get what you're saying. Like, should they pull the trigger on Roman Reigns becoming a heel? I don't think now is necessarily the time, but I think once they do it, it's going to be a huge deal. I think that it's going to be one of the biggest things that we talk about, and how it's going to be a really smart decision on WWE's part when they finally do it.
The key word is when they finally do it and if they do it.
They will do it.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. Anyways, I guess we can argue about this for a while, but let's thank our sponsor instead. HostGator, are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script, as well as a free site builder, hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today, try a free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you lose? Check out hostgator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEshop.com. Well, let's talk some Impact Wrestling for a change, which we have been skipping the last few weeks. But let's talk Rockstar Spud. He defeats Austin Aries. So Aries is done.
Yep. They had a match, and Aries was a little cocky, saying, you know, if you defeat me, I will leave TNA. And obviously this was, you know, it was planned. I was very surprised they had Rockstar Spud do it. Maybe they talked to Aries and asked him who he wanted to put over, and he said Spud. So, I mean, that's always a possibility. It is very sad because I'm an Austin Aries fan. I'm a very big fan of his. I think that he was probably like top three in the company, you know, I would say, of probably the best workers that they had there. And it's sad because now he's gone and you wonder what they're going to do with him. I know they were saying that he might be in Hollywood because he has an agent out there now. And so he might be looking for work there. But he's a wrestler. You know, The Rock doesn't surprise me. Austin Aries would surprise me. If Austin Aries did something like, you know, was in a movie, was in a TV show, that would surprise me. I would say congrats, but it would really surprise me.
He would have to be a villain, though. I don't see him being like a baby face. He'd have to be a villain in some, I don't know, D-level list movie or something on the Lifetime Network, maybe. Nothing against Austin Aries, but like, I guess that's where I see it. But, you know, hey, people have been telling him that, oh, he can't do certain things his entire life, and he's done a lot. So, you know, I'd rather say negative things and then, you know, in back of my mind be like, I really hope he makes it, which I do. I really hope he makes it in the Hollywood. I just would hate to have him go or be there and then get only offered stunt roles. That's my only beef, because I think he has a villain look to him, but like, that's, I don't know, like an evil villain look, but I'd hate to have him in like a bunch of movie, like nothing movies. But sometimes you have to start out somewhere. But he could also do stuff on, you know, wrestling on the side as well to support his income. So I wish the best for him. It just stinks that he's out of TNA.
Yeah, it really does.
So, and also Magnus and Storm finish up as well. Looks like they are done. Taping, you know, with all the TV tapings that they did recently, they're done. They're no longer in TNA. If I'm correct, Magnus went to GFW, though. But I don't know what James Storms is doing.
Yeah, I don't think that he's actually come out and said what he is doing exactly. But they have recorded all their stuff, and so they are they're done. I mean, and I think that he was done a little while ago, but James Storm had tweeted out recently that he has finished all his responsibilities with TNA, and so now he's done. And I think that James Storm was definitely a cornerstone there for TNA. You know, he was part of America's Most Wanted, obviously Beer Money, two very successful tag teams in TNA. And, you know, he's definitely going to be missed. He basically did anything that they wanted him to do. You know, they would say, we're going to have you with a tag team with Gunner. And as opposed to complain about it, he actually made it work. Like, him and Gunner as a tag team was really good. When he turned on Gunner, it was predictable, but it worked. You know, when he created the Revolution, you know, that was totally fine. And he was a very good cult leader. You know, I like James Storm. I think that he's fantastic talent. And it's very sad that TNA doesn't have money to keep him, or they don't have the resources. That's what makes me worry about TNA, is that they are letting people that they've made, people that are draws, and they're just letting them go.
But I think the reason why they're doing it is they'll say, we'll develop new stars. Okay, that's great. Or younger stars. Okay, that's great. But at some point, you can't develop them anymore. Either it's make it or break it. And I know there's a lot of guys out there, but sometimes having that vet there will help out. I mean,
well, it's not just about that, but you cannot create a superstar in a week, in a month, in a year, really. You know, Ethan Carter III is probably the exception to the rule, but you're not going to get him every single time. So, I don't know what they're going to do.
It's tough. You know, Jeff Jarrett, of course, as we know, he came back for a little bit. Well, he actually is going to be joining the TNA Hall of Fame. So this will be what, their fourth induction? They have Sting, Bully Ray.
They have Sting, they have Kurt Angle, they have the Dudleys, and now they have Jeff Jarrett. So he'll be the fourth year, the fifth person going in. And he actually went in, I believe it was last week when they did the ceremony for him, because they had to cut out all the BDC stuff. So, yeah, because MVP, I don't know if we even talked about that last week or not, but MVP has left TNA as well. So, you know, lots of people leaving. But anyway, back to Jeff Jarrett. Was he deserved? Absolutely. Jeff Jarrett is. AJ Styles was probably the next one if they're able to get him in, you know, that sort of thing.
And AJ, I think, would be a bigger draw at this point, but he's in Ring of Honor, and I don't see Ring of Honor.
New Japan. And,
right. You know, so I don't see them getting him ever again. And that's sad, because I'd love to see AJ Styles at least for 2 months be in WWE in some way, somehow, NXT, or even the main roster. But oh well. So EC3, of course, has been, well, he's basically running TNA, if you want to say that. He actually just had a TLC match he retained over Matt Hardy. I think EC3 is the right way to go, but I almost feel bad for him if TNA ends up where they're just done. If this invasion angle they end up doing with GFW, supposedly, if that fails, because then what do you do with EC3? He can go to the indies, but he's gonna want way too much money for nothing, and he can't go back to the WWE. At least he
could go back to WWE. I mean,
I don't think he will.
WWE wouldn't be stupid if TNA, like, you know, went out. I'm sure that he would have a presence in either Ring of Honor or WWE. I think that you could redo that character, the exact same character that he's done very well, and just let him go with it. You know, it's not that hard. You know, have him be Vince McMahon's nephew, you know,
Derek and Bateman McMahon.
Yeah, you don't even have to do Derek Bateman. You can say Ethan McMahon the third, you know, EM3, you know, you could do something stupid like that. You know, you just come up with an acronym and it works. It would work for WWE. You know, but EC3, so it's a Full Metal Mayhem, which is, you know, TNA's TLC match against Matt Hardy. Jeff Hardy was out last week. He was out this week, you know, supporting his brother. And it's, you know, they're putting EC3 in some hard fought matches. They're doing a very good job of that. He's definitely has that company on his back right now. And, you know, honestly, it's kind of unfortunate, because you have other talents that you really could be pushing that you're not.
Yeah. So I want to talk about something real quick. So I went back to rewatch Slammiversary. Okay, let me get this right. King of the Mountain, that match. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me get this right. If you get pinned, you're putting the penalty box for 2 minutes, right?
Yep.
And the only way to win the match is to climb up the ladder and then hang the title, and then you can take it back down, right?
Yeah.
Am I missing anything? Because I got bored halfway through the match, and I just turned the show off.
So it was a match that Jeff Jarrett kind of cooked up, and I get it. You know, you're trying to come up with some new idea because everything else has been done before. I get it. I think that this is a terrible idea. You know, remember the reverse battle royal? I actually, like, look, was it a good idea? No. Was it new? A different idea? It was. But sometimes you want to try that at a house show to see how it works. The King of the Mountain match, I think, is so convoluted that people look at that and they go, I don't know what the hell's going on right now. Like, wait, he's in a penalty box. Wait, you have to pin him in order to be able to raise the title. That's what you have to do. Like, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but I guess I'll go with it. You know, like, I don't know. It was.
Oh, so that's the other thing. You had the guy that pinned the guy who's in the penalty box can actually then take the title up. Is that right?
Yeah, it's this whole thing, dude. You know, I liked Fall Brawl. I really liked having the two rings next to each other and a cage. I think that actually worked, because it was two rings that you could do kind of some fun stuff with. And I think that's neat, you know, and you had a cage on there. I like the triple cage idea. And, you know, I know, like, Roger poo-pooed that when we talked about it a long time ago.
With three cages?
The three-tier cage.
Remember him doing that.
He said that he didn't like it. I don't know. Maybe he didn't do it on the show. Maybe it was off air. He said it was too gimmicky for him. I like that, though, because it was still within a normal realm for the most part. Whereas the King of the Mountain match is just stupid. Like, it's a reverse ladder. It's a ladder match where you have to put the title up there and people go in penalty boxes. Like, really? Like, what? Like, there's too many rules for that. Way too many rules. You have to make it simple.
That's why I like the three-tier cage.
It was you have to climb to the top to get the title. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all you had to do. And, you know, you had to use the ladder to go from the first cage to the second cage. And then the second cage, you could fight in there, but then you had to try to get out of that cage. And then you'd have to climb to the third and then climb up that one to grab the title. But anyway.
I wonder if they can actually do that match now.
WWE wouldn't, because it was a WCW idea.
Well, technically, Elimination Chamber was Eric Bischoff's idea, though.
It wasn't actually his idea, though.
Well, he takes a lot of credit for it. Actually, that's what I thought the King of the Mountain match was. But you know what we should do is actually the three-tier match cage. We should actually watch that when I'm out and see you. Just to be like, wow, this is really bad.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, man. I wouldn't mind rewatching it just to see if it's, you know, good or bad. You know, just kind of see how it unfolds. And actually, we should talk about real quick before we end the show. Next week, I am going to see Raw live out here in the Seattle area, and so I will have a full report. I'm four rows back from ringside, so I'll have a full report about the event. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. We'll see if Roger will be able to be on as well. But it will be a very good time.
Did you pay a lot for the tickets?
I was $100.
Now, do you know if it's camera?
It is not camera side, unfortunately.
Oh, so you're not.
I will not be on camera.
Can you put up a sign that backwards the entire time it says off the mark? Just hold it up. So then with the camera, we'll have to zoom in even further.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting NA in the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes, and until next time, we'll see you in the ring.